Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It's January. What's there to do? A lot, people. A whole lot. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 7th and 8th. That's his first turn of the calendar page. Gotta love this weather. A lot of things are happening. You want to be on the water. You want to be in the woods. You have the white perch bites going crazy. The pickerel, the largemouth bass, find the spots. The fish are chewing their heads off. Hey, out front, boy, those tog. You get some white lagers. They're hitting some greens as well. If you get some white lagers, you'll put some double-digit tog on the deck. Don't forget, winter bow season is going on for deer. That'll be coming up our next episode. You have small games still going on. And don't forget, today and tomorrow, down there at the Wildwood Convention Center, the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo runs today, 9 to 5, and tomorrow, 9 to 2. And that white perch bite, can you stand it? Oh, we have a really jammed show. That's it for the intro. We'll be talking winter bow deer in the next segment. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Welcome to 2023, firing on all cylinders. I love the winter season. No ice fishing yet, though. Ah, hey, maybe we shall see. A little later on in January and February, we can only hope. Be right back.
When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Hi?
Afternoon. Atlantic City Electric here to install your new smart meter.
Did I order a new meter?
No. We're replacing old meters in South Jersey with new smart meters.
What's the catch?
No catch. Just more insight and functionality.
Which means?
Soon, you'll have even more reliable electric service and new tools and programs to help you save energy and money.
Yep. That's smart. Learn more about smart meters at atlanticcityelectric.com/SEN.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And this week, I tell you, it is covered the Wildwood Expo, but the winter bow season, as John Rambo said, it's never over! It's never over! And we're talking deer season in Jersey. Wow, it goes 6 months. It's never over! Almost. Winter bow season is going a little bit of a misnomer there with the weather. Winter bow. Man, I saw some deer under a tree, man, drinking pina coladas. It was 64 degrees that we were hunting by Mill May. Wow. But I'll tell you, the deer, and the people that say, I don't know, far more experienced than me, they say deer don't move when it's warm. I don't know. We saw plenty of deer movement, various spots. They are there. Give us some winter bow hunting tips. Veteran bow hunter, 41 years. God bless. I said, would you start when you were three? Guy's really young looking, spends a lot of time in the South Jersey woods. It's Bill Brown, veteran, like I said, veteran bow hunter. Check out that photo of that buck on the blog here. That's why I had to get Bill on the show. Talk some winter bow hunting techniques, what to do, more importantly, what not to do. And there's still plenty of bone walking around out there. We found a couple of sheds already, but we saw way out of range, but saw nice on the edge of a field. This guy still had a rack. Sorry, Bill Brown, I get a little location when we're talking deer hunting. How you doing, little brother?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
I know I'm keeping you from being in the woods. So thank you very much for coming on Rack and Fin Radio. But Bill, this is from the lovely Dee Marie. Indeed, this I love it all. But this is our favorite season, the warm weather and rain, whatever notwithstanding. Especially we have to get some snowfall. Love winter bow hunting. And so one, not that many people out there. Two, the woods are naked and clean. I mean, this is the time of year. And, Bill, there's still plenty of opportunities. Now, Bill hunts primarily public land. Yeah, people, that was a public land deer. So, Bill, opportunities are there. It's just a matter of putting the time in, correct?
Yes, that's absolutely. No matter what the temperature is out, you just got to go sit. You got to get out there. If you're not sitting, you can't get them. You know, we laughed about that, but that's more true than we like to believe.
Well, Bill, here's the thing. these deer, especially on public acreage, have been hard-pressed since those DMZs that opened, what, September 12th or 13th, whatever. They've been hard-pressed now going on into the 6 months, September, October, November, December. Yeah, January, going into the 6 month. I don't know, man. They seem to be the ones we saw. Look down, turn around, look. I mean, they were really on edge. Maybe our scent was in the air or whatever. You find them tougher customers at this turn of the calendar, Paige?
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, the piece that I hunt is actually was driven very heavily this year. And it's kind of strange. You just wouldn't believe how many deer make it through the drives and the pressure and everybody being out there in the woods, but they do. They definitely do.
Well, I'll never forget, when I first came down to South Jersey, 88 or 89, I was a guest of a gun club, big gun club that, that drives, strictly, and they drive Wharton State Forest. I said, guys, I don't want to hunt. I'm there for, I was doing, I think the publication was Fishing and Hunting News. I was doing a lot of articles and cover photography for them. And I just was up in a stand. And these guys are very coordinated, but probably 50, 60 people involved in this club, you know, where the vans come out with the table, folding to the tablecloths for lunch the whole bit. I watched this buck, not big, you know, South Jersey, nice little tight basket, 6 or 8 point. I don't remember. I'm up in a tree, and I watch this deer get down into these bull briars, cat briars, whatever they call them. And I'm pointing down the guy. You could not see him. That deer did not move. And you could. I saw from where I was, and they disappeared. The guys kept going. The drive kept going. 10 minutes later, Brown, that deer got up, skinnied out, pretty much on his belly, whew, and took off in the other direction. And yes,
I believe you.
Yep,
I believe you 100% there, Tom. 100%. I mean, this year we were driven from opening day, 7 o'clock a.m. Me and my son Zach, and we both walked out of the woods after the drivers went through. He shot a 4-pointer and I shot an 8-pointer. And it's mind boggling for all the noise and all the commotion and everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You just got to sit. You know how that typical thing is, you know, sit at 7, you sit till 9, you go out, you have your coffee and everything. Try sitting till 10. Try sitting till 11.
Good point.
Put a little extra time in because the deer know they pattern us as much as we pattern them. So because they're a little nervous and they've got all that pressure from the year, you got to put that little extra in. And you can't forget the basics. You know, you can't forget about your setup and doing the scouting and putting the time in to increase your odds.
Where are you looking now? High pressure deer. You're looking for river bottoms, swamp bottoms, any little hills. Right? Where's your area of operation generally?
To be honest with you, I look for a super thick area. Any of those would qualify as long as it is thick. And also pines. Obviously, the super warm weather changes it. The pines increase the temperature. You know, I mean, it's just warmer where there's the dark green.
Mm-hmm.
But anywhere next to thick, I try not to hunt in the thick only because I want to pull them out. Like if I'm baiting, I'm not going to bait in the thick. I'm going to bait next to the thick. Or mm-hmm. if I'm hunting sign and there's acorns, I'll hunt an oak grove next to a super thick swamp. I know they're going to be coming out of there. I don't want to blow them out their one security cover. After all this year, any deer that made it, they have some pretty sound security cover to make it through shotgun, to make it through all the seasons. So I don't want to go in there and blow them out of there. I like the fact that they feel safe, they're secure, but I'll get on the edge. And hopefully they got to come out and eat sooner or later. And whether it's acorns, whether it's, you know, who knows, the holly berries, there's like a million, you know, mast crops out there that they're rummaging for at the moment. Or if I have a bait pile, you know, I mean, they're going to come out, they're going to eat. You just got to be there. And it's about consistency and it's about putting your time in, I think.
Bill, speaking of bait piles, a little non-sequitur here, I ran into, it basically looked like Bunker Hill. Remember the Revolutionary War? This pile of sugar beets. Holy God. I think this guy had all of Atlanta County and Cumberland County deer. Like, there's a big invitation out there. But, Bill, now the scent game, I mean, watching your thermals naturally, you load up with cover scent. And now also, but let me ask you this, all your experience, are you a proponent thinking there is a secondary rut that maybe, you know, artificial naturally, it has to be by law now, or, you know, doe and estrus scent as an attractant? What do you think?
Absolutely. And it, not only is a secondary, there's a tertiary. I think the rut keeps happening until all the does are bred. And those younger ones will keep coming into heat until they're caught up with. The scent thing is using scents, you know, I love the new Evercom that is the non-biological one. So it's the one we can use in the state of New Jersey. It worked fantastic for me this year. I had deer go up and like lick the branches it was on.
Evercom?
Worked just.
Hello? Bill, you know, Bill, Evercom, I think I've heard of that. That's not new, is it?
No. It's been around a while, but this year the synthetic came out, which is legal in New Jersey.
Now, how are you applying this? To your person, to the surroundings, both? What?
I don't put it on myself, but I'll put it on a few branches, like overhanging a scrape or just in the area on a tree. It just gave me that edge, and I think it was I was leery with anything synthetic, but it worked fantastic. I couldn't be happier with it.
Okay, join us on the Rakuten line this morning, January 7th, is Bill Brown, veteran South Jersey bow hunter, 41 years experience, and downs them every year. Public lands, people. Again, private land. Hey, you have access to private land. That's great. Deer are still wary as hell this time of year. But to consistently have the opportunity, in other words, seeing deer with the chance for a shot on public land, this at this stage of the bow hunting game, winter bow, is that's a feat unto itself. Now, Bill, I know some guys swear by, again, you mentioned a secondary rut, even tertiary rut, putting out a doe decoy. Have you seen that done this time of year?
I have seen it done. I've done it myself, especially out at the rye field. I've given it a try. And it can be super effective, but I have also experienced it just scaring the crud out of them. You'll get one reaction or the other. I find no middle ground there. They'll either come right in or they'll just turn and run away.
Bill, even worth to rattle or tap the grunt?
I'm going to say yes. I mean, I do it. Yeah. I'll give it a try. And I'll only do it if I'm looking at the deer. I prefer to see the reaction. I don't like just sitting in the tree stand doing it and then not having any deer come in and wondering, right, did I scare them away or not. I want to see the reaction of the deer. So if I see a buck and he's moving off, I will definitely try anything in my bag of goodies to bring him to me. And if I happen to spook him out, well, then I know not to do that for a bit, you know.
Well, so, Bill, yeah, here's the thing, too. A recent hunt, Lovey DeMarie, she was a permit bow. Towards the end of November, but of all things, we didn't get until we were waiting to do the 2-hour mandatory and then do the magic hour thing, you know, just before dark. But we weren't in the blinds. It's probably 1 o'clock, quarter after one in the afternoon. We weren't in the blind 3 minutes. I didn't even get a chance to get into my Kit Kat, Bill, in my coverall pocket, my Kit Kat, my good luck blueberry Kit Kat. DeMarie whispers, "There's a buck coming in. There he is, right there." And I can barely see. And then again, Bill, 1:30 in the afternoon, like at a, you know, no magic hours, and he had a little bit of a ruck going. His neck was still a little thick, but like you said, early morning, late afternoon into a half hour after sunset, prime time. But they're going to be moving around all times this point of the game, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? I think it goes by your prep work, and pressure affects it. Definitely pressure is a factor, but it's your prep work. How do you approach your stand? How do you set up your stand? I almost, this is going to sound a little strange, but like our generation, I feel like we haven't passed on the scouting knowledge to the next generation. It's a lot of people that I talk to say, I'm going to go throw 100 pounds of corn out, set up a tree stand, and kill a deer.
Time right there, right there.
Definitely happen.
Right there, Bill. Not to interrupt you being rude, but it's Tom P. You know that. You know me. But I concur 1,000%. It's made it easier. The skills have been lost.
Yeah. It's about getting and reading the sign. Like, I want to increase my odds. So when I go to set up, whether I'm baiting or whether I'm hunting sign, whether it's a scrape and rubs and you know, whatever, if I'm hunting a trail, you know, we call them billy goat runs out there in the swamps and stuff. They're all like black. But before I do that, I'm going to consider the wind. You know what I mean? I see guys still going out and setting up tree stands on the west side of a bait pile, and I look at them, and I'm like, our wind is primarily out of the west, fellas. This is not a good idea. You know, and they're like, oh, really? And well, I'm like, boy, did I do this bad a job, you know, passing on my knowledge of what's going on around here, you know? And I feel like we really got to do that. We really got to re-educate this new generation. It's not just about grabbing a crossbow and shooting arrows around the woods, you know? There's some craft to it.
Listeners, and I again concur with Bill Brown on this. His sons, Zach and Noah, are deer-killing machines. Selective, yes. They want the antlers, yes. But they get deer on public lands, yes, like their dad, yes, every year. But, Bill, instilling that in them, I mean, I've seen Noah on hands and knees through there. I mean, that's yep. vital. I mean, dumping the corn, again, still, you can put the corn down. You can put the carrots. You can put, you know, the sugar beets, whatever. You're set up incorrectly, they're not going to come in.
You know, it also depends on what you want. If you want to shoot the older, more mature deer, you're going to have to put the odds in your favor. And that's everything. That's everything we just talked about. That's, you know, checking your scent. You know, it's, oh, I use the scent spray. It doesn't matter where I sit. Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah.
Oh.
Scent spray does not cover everything. You've got to have the wind in your favor, you know. But you also have to do the scent spray. You know, I use Ozonics. I use all kinds of cover scents. I use, you know, the scent-free soap, everything you can do to put the edge on, help me get to the finish line there. That's the goal.
Okay, Bill. Now, Bill, we have, again, deer behavior. I'm thinking of buck behavior. I will take a doe. Some DMZs we have, I'll take a doe. I'm into the meat. My lovely D. Marie's into the rack phase, which is fine. This is great. But we have this warm spell now. It's going to be getting cold. Now, Bill, they're talking by the third possible snowstorm somewhere between January 12th and 15th and another big cold snap coming. When it's cold, yes, shout out to Batteries Plus for my heated seat for my big butt. Yes, it does work. We were ice fishing up in the Poconos. It does work, and it's rechargeable. Bill, when the cold hits, I mean, when it hits, that can make being in a blind or trees in a blind, you may have the little buddy heat or whatever. That can be torturous. I've seen Denise up there with snotsicles down to her chin, refusing to come down. I mean, you have to put the time in there. How, beating that cold, man, and having the perseverance, how do you do it?
For me, it's a lot of hot hands and keeping my eye on the prize. I'm very familiar with everybody around me likes to say that I form my own stalactites. so I know what you're talking about. But I try to sit when it's bitter, bitter, bitter cold. Don't forget the middle of the day. The deer are like us. They like the comfort. You know, they want to sit in their beds and not get up till it's the warmest part of the day. Try the middle of the day. When it gets that freezing, freezing cold temperatures, they will be moving.
Bill, I noticed that, again, non sequitur here, but it still involves hunting. I noticed that years and years ago with my cousin Mario Bones Rossi up there in the Delaware Water Gap and down some of the areas in South Jersey, squirrel hunting. We're squirrel fanatics. And we're out there up. It's, hey, you know, it's sunrise. We're out there before sunrise waiting. And then now we're talking January, February, right? We're camping in a lean-to, freezing our asses off, whatever. And, we don't start to see, we're walking, we're there on stand. Where the hell are the squirrels? Where are the squirrels? Finally learned about 10 o'clock, 10:30, especially after the sun's up a little bit. Boom, they appeared like magic. And then we saw a deer too, same thing. They don't like it. They don't like it that cold either. Yeah.
No, it takes that bitter cold to get that cycle going. But once it changes and once it gets to that, you will see a ton of animals in the middle of the day.
Bill, in closing here, your choice. I mean, you're a rack. What did I call you in the blog? The rack rocker. Passing up bucks, especially on public land. Is there ever in the back of your mind, hey, there's a nice eight. Look at that beam on him. He's probably 3.5. I think I'm going to wait till next year. He might, you know, might be a 10, might be an 11 or a 12. Ever have that little tingling in the back of your mind that somebody else might get him before then?
Oh my gosh, Tom, I've had this conversation with so many of my friends. The one guy, Louie, that I hunt with, we after hunting, we always would text each other or call each other. Oh, I let one go. Oh man, he's just going to get shot by somebody else. That's a constant fear. In New Jersey, I'm sorry, that's a constant fear. You're hunting public land.
That's it, yeah.
It's always a possibility. But you know what? It doesn't change me. I shot the deer. The big one that I shot this year was on the last day of permit bow. And I let go probably 25, 30 very nice deer. it ain't easy. That's all I'm going to say.
And listeners, this is public land. I'm not even going to give the county, but it's in South Jersey, and it is public property. So the deer are out there. Enjoy the winter bow season. This is going to go until January 31st. Predicated on the DMZ, you're going to be hunting. Let's run over some of the bag limits. Well, and DMZs, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, go to page 36. One DMZ we hunt up there. The season goes till February 18th. Other areas statewide, it goes to the 31st. The limits go from 9 antlerless and 1 antler, 2 deer may be taken at a time, to 5 antlerless and 1 antlered, to unlimited antlerless and 1 antlered, 2 antlerless or 1 antlerless and 1 antlered, 2 deer only, 1 may be antlered, and where we're going to be hunting DMZ 46, only 1 deer can be taken. So that is where this nice... this nice rack is walking around. My lovely Dee Marie has her sights on. Well, Bill Brown, thanks for joining us on Rack of Fin Radio. Always enjoy your expertise.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Hey, the winter bow, Bill, that's the game. The rut's great, but that's the prime time. Again, from my end, yeah. A lot less pressure on the public lands. And that adds to a quality experience. You know, have deer moving around is one thing, but two, this time of year, it's tough, and the deer are on high alert. And, Bill, thanks for your tips and techniques there. Greatly appreciate it. One last question, Brown. How high up do you go?
Nosebleed? Probably 25 feet.
That's what I said. I talked to Bill Brown's son, Noah Brown. Shout out to Noah there. He's a pop 25, sometimes 30, depending on where he's hunting. I said, does he have a parachute, a short drop parachute? Brown, you guys are there.
It's up there.
Well, you take care. Have a happy new year. Hope to see you this spring sometime.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck this winter, Tom. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bill Brown, what a guy. And just shares the knowledge. Just shares the knowledge. You know, and he does it on public, I know exactly where he hunts, somebody here, public land. The deer are there. You can't get them all. I remember when the crossbows became legal. They're going to wipe out the herds. No. Okay, the EHD outbreak, we get that. But, you know, they recover. The deer recover. Nature abhors a vacuum. We grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. It's never over.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Our connections make powerful things happen, uniting individuals and communities. We are Rotary. We are people of action. And together, we turn great ideas into reality by accessing our networks, our experience, and the best of ourselves to make a difference. Around the world, Rotary brings leaders together to build new friendships and to solve problems. Like in Austria, where generations work side by side to build sustainable housing and community centers. In India, volunteers run a mobile blood bank to help provide a steady blood supply for their local community. And in Taiwan, people are working hard to get vulnerable citizens the support and services they need. With over 1 million members, we know what people can do when they come together. Take action with us. Find out more at rotary.org/action. To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at autismspeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Are they ready? Are you ready? Giving your child their first phone is an important and often difficult decision. After all, it is a milestone in your child's development. The Phone Ready Quiz from the American Academy of Pediatrics can help make this decision easier. Go to healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz to take a short questionnaire developed by pediatricians that'll help you decide if you and your child are ready, almost ready, or not yet ready for their first phone. And get tips about how your child can develop a healthy relationship with technology. So, are they ready, almost ready, or not yet ready? What about you? Go to healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz today. Just 10 short questions can help you find out. That's healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, that this department is reaching out to the community, and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are a few of the things many of us take for granted. Yet for many United States military veterans, finding and affording oral health care is a challenge. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. Will you volunteer to help people like Richard, a U.S. Naval veteran who suffered severe PTSD after his service? He was left homeless for a period of time, and his oral and overall health are suffering. Because of congressional limitations, the VA can't provide the dental help he needs. Through our Will You See One Vet program, we focus on helping U.S. military veterans like Richard. Now we are seeking more general dentists and specialists to donate treatment to at least one veteran with special needs. When you volunteer with DLN's program to see one vet, we handle the details so you can focus on the care. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message and help us make a difference in the life of a veteran in need. Visit willyouseeonevet.org to learn more. That's willyouseeonevet.org.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. First show in January 2023. Yeah, that was Bill Brown talking winter bow season deer tactics. The bucks are still there. We found a couple of sheds, and we saw one nice one walking around with one antler. That's still funny as hell when you see that. But what's been in the news, man, this torrid perch bite with this warm spell going on just prior to that big freeze there. I was hoping beyond hope that Collins Cove would have safe ice. Now, the size I am now, I'd need probably 5 inches, tidal ice 5 inches. But now the wind kept it open. But there was some fantastic perch fishing going on before. Everyone was keyed in on the bass, naturally, the stripers and the tog. Perch, man, they are there, and they are chewing their heads off. The feed bags are on. Now, we have another weather pattern change coming in. I think next week sometime. So get on the perch and get on them now. Join us online right now. Very special guest, as always, kicking off the first show of the new year. Captain Dave the Rave Show, Seeking Bay Sports Center, 81 Natalie Terrence, and I'm Seeking. He is the white perch maven for the area. Captain Dave, thanks for joining us. The perch are chewing their heads off. Cap, what are you seeing?
Well, what I'm saying is Happy New Year. we've been going through this for a long time now. Every time there's a new season opens up, we're always Happy New Year on here. And unfortunately, for you River and Back Bay anglers, the striped bass have closed up as of January 1st. So that's not so happy for you.
Yep.
In most of these river areas, it is a Happy New Year for the perch fishing. This, without a doubt, has been the best white perch fishing I've ever seen since the late 60s, early 70s, when they first discovered Collins Cove.
Dave, I'll tell you, they are big and they are thick and they are, Dave, we even caught some, ran out of worms, caught some on fish bites. Check that out. Yeah.
Oh, they've been aggressive. I had a customer come in yesterday morning. He had bought a dozen jumbo bloodworms the day before. Him and his buddy on the one dozen worms had 93 perch. And he says, "Well, I got one more chewed up piece on one hook of my top and bottom rig, and it had little yellow pill floats on it." He threw that in. He said, and he pulled up a double. They're so hungry. That was trying to eat the float. So,
Dave, there's a lot.
The 95 fish on a dozen. Worms are expensive, but that's a pretty good percentage.
Definitely your money's worth there. Well, listen, there's a lattice work of tidal creeks. Cricks, as they say, further down in Cape May County, where the perch bite is just going strong. But, Dave, where are we looking for them now? I mean, are they going to be concentrated in the deeper holes at the edges of the drop-offs? What's the deal? And tide, outgoing, incoming. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I hear people catching them any tide, but I think the big thing right now, we had, I think that cold snap did concentrate them. I think they were still, the water wasn't super cold, and I think they were still scattered and feeding, but they got pushed down into schools, into deep holes. So right now it seems like the edges of the deep water areas are where they're coming up for something they can eat. And the water's warming up with this. We've had days over 60 degrees with the sun out up in the woods. That warms things up pretty good.
Dave, you know what I found odd in that, I guess, through the ice, I'll never forget, I believe he's a conservation officer now. His first name is Ryan. I think the last great year we had on the Mullica there, Collins Cove, that's where I met your brother-in-law? Is that your
Tommy?
Brother, Tom? Yeah, he was there. He's bailing them. You, Carberry, shout out to you there from Bureau of Marine Fisheries. That whole crew was out. They're off. We're Saturday, we're there. Everyone's catching fish. Not lots, but just enough. Keep it going. And this guy, he was working for Marine Fisheries at the time as a tech, then he eventually became a CO. His name was Ryan. He had a spoon on there, a green spoon with orange dots, probably a quarter ounce. And, Dave, this is through the ice at Collins Cove. If he didn't just smack the daylights out of the bigger perch. Now, I tried it the other day with an Al's Goldfish, which always catches fish no matter where. Through the ice, get him. Yet, Dave, in that open water, the perch, they were hitting the fish bites, they were hitting the bloods. They would not touch that spoon. And yet, under the ice, I've seen them caught on spoons. That's the damnedest thing to me. They're aggressive, but like, they just backed off. They didn't want to have anything to do. Even, horror of horrors, we do this ice, put a piece of bait on one of the small trebles, still no touch.
They eat what they want to eat when they want to eat. They are fish, but, they've been pretty hungry. And well, it's pretty much as far as natural baits, there ain't a whole lot, of variety around this time of year. My bloodworm man has been bringing them down from Maine and keeping me supplied. I pretty well. I got some nice jumbos, and when I get the regular worms, they're not as big as I would like to see, but they're big enough for the perch.
And Dave, you have the magic. You have the magic there. I saw my lovely D. Maria. Did you check Dave's post? What? You have minis. Or you had minis. What's the dealio? Are they all gone?
I got minnows. When the water, especially after that first cold, I think we've had the same at least the last 3 years, we've had the same pattern. We get right in the beginning of January, the end of December, we've had a cold snap. Turns everything, makes it look like it's the end of the world, and then we pops right back up, and we get a January thaw, but a little earlier than you would think, and I think the minnows hadn't really settled into their winter, and so they pop right up, and I've been catching them pretty good right here, and I'm hearing a lot of guys hunting for grass shrimp, or they'll find a pod of minnows somewheres and get a couple nets full, but the grass shrimp are missing in action.
Yeah, Dave, on the grass shrimp, you're right. They're missing in action. I saw a couple of guys over the past week down, what's that, Ocean Drive or whatever, between Ocean City and, I guess, Strathmere, where the water's running under there. And it's always a good spot in that area for some grass shrimp, but they were saying no go. I stopped there, no go, but the killies are around, and I'll tell you, people, they are a big perch bait. And Dave, you know how we like to, actually, when they're aggressive as they are, we put them on a mini little 16th-ounce jig head with a little tiny size zero spinnerbait clip and just slow roll them, and the perch go bonkers.
Yeah, well, they're always good for, good for the perch, the minnows, and especially these little ones. Well, anyway, you get them on, get them in front of them, and they will. Yeah, they'll get them going. That's for sure. And the perch and the grass shrimp have really been tough. I had one guy yesterday come in. He says, "Oh, he'll get me some," and I got it. Well, I won't mention exact names, but you know who they are. they run this meat wagon boat, and they're pretty tough crew.
Oh yeah,
and he says he'll find them, so if he brings me some today, I'll be real happy, but I ain't had any luck myself.
Yeah, I'm just saying the initials is G-A. That's all I know. But yeah, Dave, again, if you can get the grass shrimp, you guys get the killies. The bloodworms are no fail. And Dave, the mullica's, it's always a hot spot for the perch. We catch them as far up as, I used to catch them way up there by the Sweetwater Casino, but Crowley's Landing is a pretty good spot. Again, Hay Road's always crowded, correct? Is that like the ground zero for the white perch?
Yeah, well, ground zero seems to be that Hog Island that is right across from Hay Road. Yeah, right across that. That's actually Clark's Landing, and it should be a beautiful state or county park, and nobody wants to jump in there and give us a real recreation area, but that's a story for a different day. Right now, the fishing is good. And pretty much ground zero around that whole Hog Island area from the end of the mouth of Swan Bay up to the bridge at Lower Bank.
Yeah, Lower Bank is hot. Also, people, that little, what's that, Dave, that little, I saw you there once across the river. Again, listeners, the channel's on the other side. What's that little Green Bank State Park, Dave, right there by that bridge? Whoa! Are there some perch there?
Yeah, up there to Green Bank. Now, that usually, from right now, I got some theories as to why the area is so good, but you're looking at the mixing of the brackish, fresh and brackish water, and right in that Lower Bank area seems to be what holds the perch. And since you can't fish for them, we can't mention it, but holds a lot of stripers right this time of year, and they're not adverse to biting a perch hook. So remember, you got to put them back in the water, but they're a lot of fun.
Right, Dad, I was just going to ask you, and they're not all little small stripers either. I mean, a bloodworm's a bloodworm. Unless you're not targeting bass. You're targeting bass. No, you're not. You're perch fishing. You can't. Well, technically, a white perch is a member of the bass family. Marrone sexualis, whatever the Latin is. Bass, as in largemouth, smallmouth, they're basically a sunfish family. So we'll clear that up right now. But yeah, you're not targeting stripers. Oh, I'm not targeting stripers. I'm white perch fishing. You can't help, Dave, what comes along. Now, didn't you have a guy a couple of years ago, the season had opened, it was in the spring, after March 1st, didn't he get some 30-something plus inch bass on a perch rig?
I heard some reports in the fall that guys guys catching over on the perch rig. I had one, you know, back when you could keep them, you know, and it always gets a, you know, good or for bad, but it was legal, but, you know, came up, they were, you know, there was a couple of those lower bank boys and everything, you know, everything, if it's legal, you know it's going in the boat. And that was, he had a 46 incher, I think, you know, just shy of 50 pounds that came out of the river.
Yeah.
And that was on a size 6 hook. And he said that he was up on the flats perch fishing. He said he actually seen the wake, the fin and the tail flapping across the shallows. And he said, well, wouldn't it be neat if that thing ate the line? And the next thing, there went to the races.
There it is. Georgetown Live, Captain Dave the Ray Show of Seneca Bay Sports Center. Talking winter white perch with this thaw, with this very moderate weather. The bite is on. Hey, Dave, I have to ask you a favor. You got to stay in for one more short segment, correct? I want to go over a couple more things with you regarding the perch. And also want to talk a little about summer flounder. You got some time?
Yeah, always got time. I'm surprised I'm so busy this time of year, but I'd rather be busy, that's for sure. But we'll be on the radio.
Okay, Captain Dave, stay right there. People, grab that cup, grab that rib. We'll be right back. Captain Dave Showell, talking perch.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, until NATO. It took 15 rounds of voting over the past week, but Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy did some bargaining with holdout conservatives and got enough votes to become elected House Speaker. He told the chamber early this morning,
"Our system is built on checks and balances. It's time for us to be a check and provide some balance to the president's policies."
President Biden issued a statement congratulating McCarthy, saying he'll work with Republicans when he can. No winner in last night's Mega Millions jackpot, so up for grabs in Tuesday's drawing, $1.1 billion. At Buscemi's convenience store in Michigan, staffer Elijah Kuza says they're busy.
When the big games get this high, that's when people that never play the lottery gotta come in.
Tuesday's pot is the third largest in U.S. history. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight under a partly to mostly cloudy sky, chilly, low 39. Saturday with intervals of clouds and sun, it'll be breezy, high 46. Some clouds Saturday night, low near 40. Rather cloudy Sunday, high 43. There could be a couple of showers of rain or rain briefly mixing with wet snow Sunday night into early Monday. The rest of Monday partly sunny, high 45. I'm AccuWeather's Kurt Babinski on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend January 7th and January 8th. Man, after this, I am heading down to the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo there at the Convention Center. The show runs from 9 today until 5, and then tomorrow 9 to 2. Have maybe flipping a coin here on which day, because we do have that Fur Harvesters meeting up there in Ocean County regarding some resolutions that are going on, and they are, well, that's another story. We have Dave the Rave Show. We're talking white perch. He's out on line right now. Dave, I want to wrap it up with the perch and then touch with you on not so much the summer flounder. We can wait on that. Okay, out there, maybe possibly worst-case scenario, listeners, going back to 3 at 18 inches in Jersey for 2023. Some guys, I know, love it that we're bitching and moaning. These guys are big flounder hunters. I get that. But they were far, 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 exponentially, like to the fourth, fifth, sixth degree, whatever you want to call that, outvoiced and out, you know, outnumbered by those who like the 2-17 under 18 and 1-18. Wow, people finally had some flounder to bring home to eat for dinner instead of throwing everything back, which, you know, half of them or more than half of them probably croaked. But anyway, Dave, back to the perch real fast. Some of your spots I mentioned, like Crowley's Landing on a Mullica, another good spot right there, listen, LF exit 50. Was that, yeah, 50 or 50, you're going northbound on the Garden State Parkway, coming north, right there, that waste pit, I call it Scotty's Pond, it's Amasis Landing Road, get off there, you can fish right on that little pier they made, or farther down, it's the Bass River, okay, they made a nice little park there, there's some shoreline access, you can really knock some perch dead there, but that one, and if you bring some hip boots, if you want to wait on that marsh, on that meadow there, you'll have a good crack at perch. There's a little bottleneck at the top, and they pour in there. But Dave, now your fave spot on the mug, you mentioned Hay Road. Anything in Obsequin Creek yet? Because we've caught some there as well.
Well, they were catching good, well, all summer long. There was plenty hanging off of my dock. If I had to put a line in the water and I couldn't get out of the store, I'd just sneak down for a couple minutes and I could get some nice size fish and put a couple in the pan if I wanted. But and they were down by the Fawns Landing Road bulkhead there where they have their famous greenhead feeding station park that they built up there. A big giant deck 50 feet back from the water. And nobody's figured that out. So they got, the only thing you can do there is feed gnats in the spring and greenheads in the summer. But there's some rock piles down there, and they were pulling loads and loads of perch off of the rock piles at the end of the bulkhead. And that was up into November pretty good. So I'm sure these fish are somewhere in this creek. Just finding them is a problem because you got to look for them and nobody comes up here. You know, you got a kayak, there's a lot of water between New Road and Mill Road where the dam is, where the Absecon Reservoir, which should be one of the freshwater hotspots in the South Jersey, but that's another story we'll talk about
Yeah. Hey, shout out to Rob English. I think he's a pro staff Wilderness Kayak, one of the kayak companies. He was a guest on Rack and Fin back in the spring. We talk about a kayak guy. He is getting some big perch, big stringers of perch. Shout out to Robbie there. And I don't know if he's fishing your area, Dave, or not, but he's from a yak and he's doing it. Dave, let's get to the bass right now. Again, listen, the wintertime is meeting time. The Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission and the Atlantic Coastal States from Maine and North Carolina have scheduled hearings to gather input on Draft Addendum 1 to Amendment 7, the Atlantic Striped Bass Interstate Fishery Management Plan. Listen to this. Dave, is this a kick in the nuts or what? The draft addendum considers allowing voluntary transfers of striped bass ocean commercial quota between states that have ocean quota. New Jersey's hearing was back, it was last month on the 20th. Anyway, I got a note from the JCAA. Please announce the Jersey Coast Anglers supports option A, the status quo. Commercial quota transfers are not permitted. You can email your comments@asmfc.org. The subject line, Striped Bass Draft Addendum 1. People do it because, Dave, as you said, wouldn't this be an avenue to yank the bonus tag program from us?
Well, if not to yank it, at least to cut us way, way back. We did have a, did see in print last spring when they came up with the regulations for the bonus program for the year, they had in print that 2001 would have been was the, you know, we use more bonus tags than ever, and the bonus tags that were used were only 20% of the entire possibility. So
right.
So if commercial guys get a hold of, I know some people that say, these bonus tags killing all these baby fish and that. Well, guess what? If these bonus tags go to the commercial fishermen, it's going to take 80%, I'd be eight times what we've used. Yeah, what we've caught and tagged and taken home and had anglers had great dinners. I had a few of them, and it's definitely going. That's going to kill fish. Anytime they can catch them in the nets, or however they catch them and sell them, they're going to sell every one that's possible. And not commercial guys are great guys for the most part, but when you're dealing with money, if you can sell something. Usually they do, and
And Dave, I don't understand this. Fluke had been fine. Again, the recruitment is a little down from what I understand, but the biomass is steady. They want to mess with the sea bass. Oh, a 10% cut there. Where is all this stuff coming from? Bad data, garbage in, garbage out. To quote Tom Foti, JCA. Tom's due here in a couple of weeks. He's vacationing out to a spot. Will be unannounced, but he is chomping at the bit, man, to get back here. And the sea bass, they're messing with porgies. The porgies are eating the paint off the bottom of the boats. Now they want to cut that. you know, keep the minimum length. Don't up that, but cut the back order. When there's more porgies, they know what to do with. Dave, I don't know, this marine management thing, the politics involved, the flawed data that's involved, how does... You never know when a shoe's going to drop, especially from your end as a tackle dealer and bait dealer. What do you do?
Well, you're looking at a crystal ball, and if I had a crystal ball that would tell me that, I would definitely be using it for seeing something other than the fishing tackle. I'd be maybe look at where that world record was hanging, and I'd be fishing right there.
Well, Captain Dave, thanks for joining us. Hey, Dave, do me a favor. Give me your... If I were to go stop in money, get some bloods, point me three perch areas, Dave. Three perch areas for Tom P. on Monday. What do you got?
Well, we haven't mentioned a whole lot to Egg Harbor River, and I know you know that up that Tucker. I believe there's more. I won't say more, but the Egg Harbor tributaries are probably the best bet, but they're harder to get to even than the Mullica. You know, these rivers come through these salt marshes. And getting to the edge of them is tough. Yeah, it ain't like you can drive up every couple of feet.
He said that for my benefit, people.
Yeah, well, you got them big feet. You can even keep that giant frame up. And then if you do sink down, you still can reach. Your head will still be above the mud.
Okay, Dave, listen, the Egg Harbor stuff, I like the, it's not burning a spot, but I hate that term, burning a spot. 611 right there in Tuckahoe, Corbin City. You want perch, bada bing, bada boom, right there. And, Dave, the bite should stay hot, I'm thinking, pun intended, at least another week or so until another weather change. You don't know what that brings. But, listen, the perch are out there. Get your freshwater tackle out. A lot of fun and great eating. Remember, as Dave said, any bass you catch, any stripers, must go back. The backwaters are closed until March 1st, which reminds me, Dave, I'm looking at the calendar now. You are due in for will be, Dave, our 20th annual opening week striper show. You got that? You marked that down, Shoal?
Oh, I got it marked down. I got it. I'm looking for a big shot this year. I think I'd like to figure even a better bang up way to open up the striped bass new year. And maybe we can put our heads together and get something going.
We'll get something going, Dave. Listen, yeah, I have a I told Judy. The lovely Judy, Dave's beautiful wife, too. Make sure Sugar bites Dave on the ass the night before to remind him that he has to come into the studio that first Saturday of March. Well, Dave, you take care. Best of Judy and Kevin, and we'll see you soon.
Okay.
Whoa. You think you'll have any killies left Monday or any bloods?
Oh, I'll have killies, and the bloods have been going out so fast. I'm waiting for my load right now. I'm standing outside, but he's supposed to be almost here. I interrupted him this morning. I said, "Man, I need him quick." And so he put that. He was cooking breakfast, and he said he's jumping right in the truck and coming down. And I thought he'd be here by as long as we've been talking, but he'll be here. He's been really reliable, and the worms have been pretty good.
Okay, Cap.
Like I said, don't get sticker shock.
I don't worry about that, man. I just need some perch in the pan. We'll see you Monday, Davey. Take care, brother.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, light tackle fun and good eating and the regs. Boy, we have some shows lined up February and March. People are going to go crazy. You don't know what's happening on the saltwater inshore front. You just don't know. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
The New Jersey Transit Police Department reminds you that we all need to work together to keep our transit system safe. Report suspicious activity to the New Jersey Transit Police Department at 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD. Your attention is our most valuable asset. If you ride the train or bus, or if you live or work near a station, be alert and aware of your surroundings. If something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. Report any suspicious activity that you see or encounter to the New Jersey Transit Police Department at 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD. New Jersey Transit urges you to help us keep our transit system safe and reminds you that we all need to work together and be aware of our surroundings. Once again, to report suspicious activity to the New Jersey Transit Police, dial 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD. Together, we can keep our transit system safe.
We get it. You're not going to work just anywhere. You're smart, ambitious, and you want to help others. You want a place where you can thrive, feel fulfilled, and have an opportunity for growth, all while making an incredible living. Right now is the perfect time to join the team at Town Square Media as a marketing consultant. Join one of the fastest growing digital companies in America, where you get to help build client solutions with real local influencers and sell brands like TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. If this sounds exciting to you, let's have a conversation. Our comp package is amazing, with unlimited earning potential, including base salary, mobile phone, auto expense, 401k match, trip incentives, and more. If you're competitive, driven, and have the ability to communicate great ideas, we'd like to hear from you. With digital advertising expected to double over the next 3 years, the timing could not be better. Reach out to Mike Rubel, Market President, at 609-910-5249 or visit careers.townsquaremedia.com. Town Square Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And that's over this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Don't forget today and tomorrow down at the Wildwood Convention Center, the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. 45,000 square feet. The facility is packed. There's no more room for exhibitors. You have 8 boat dealers, tackle dealers, everything and anything to do with fishing and boating is there. Joining us online right now, he's waiting to open. He's wired, fired, otherwise inspired, is Jerry Vessels, show promoter and owner, and he is there on site right now, a couple hours early. But when you have a show like this going on, people, you must be there. Jerry, how's it going?
Tommy P, what's happening, brother, man? We are packed and stacked. We're ready to open these doors any second. And I'm telling you, we are so pumped up here. We got 43 boats inside, 100 other vendors. Tommy, this place is going to explode.
Listeners, $7 adults, $3 for youngsters, 6 to 13. Now, youngsters under 6, free. And free parking. Jerry, we're gonna try to get down there today, if not today, tomorrow. But you'll hear me. Jerry, you see my size. You'll hear the ground shake. You'll hear the floor shake when Tom P is in the house. Okay, Jerry, good luck, man. We'll see you one of these days.
Thanks, brother. Can't wait to see you and Dee Marie.
Okay,
thanks,
man.
Buddy.
Yep.
See you.
But don't forget the perch. And don't forget the deer. That perch bite should last. Deer season goes until winter bow, until the 31st. Plenty of things to do. Squirrel and rabbit, predator seasons are open. Winter is a wonderful time. God bless America. God bless the troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.